Oh, hello, 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 and welcome to the Trash Talk Podcast with Jake. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Trash Talk Podcast with Jake. I am your host, Jake, and I'm coming at you on a Saturday morning, heading down to the oldies to repair me grandma's car, and then head down to grandma's to return it. I mean, it's only 6 weeks late, so, you know, there won't be any late fees with old grandma. That's good. That's a good thing. But, yeah, you know, I've been a bit of a slack cunt. Recently with a lot of things. Doing stuff is not one of them. So it's not like I've been lazing around doing nothing. But I have definitely not been podcasting. And I definitely have not been doing my grandma's car. So, yeah. In any case, I don't think you've probably heard the last podcast by now, because I still haven't fucking uploaded it, and I recorded it last week. I'm an absolute fucking shocker at this point. You're gonna call me Two Podcast Jake soon, because I'll just be releasing podcasts in doubles, because I can't fucking remember to ever fucking release them. But, yeah, so, you know, enjoy my slackness. It gets you two podcasts at once. But then, you know, they don't come out as often. But, yeah, I was hoping to get more podcasts recorded last weekend, but I can't remember what happened. I think I took me mate to a fucking music festival that I didn't go to. I just, like, drove him there, and then I drove home, and I don't think I ever fucking decided to record it. I think I might have been eating or something. I can't remember. But, yeah, so I think maybe I'll just kick off from last time, and it'll be like, oh, da-da-da-da, you know, this is just after the last one, and that's why you haven't received it. But, yeah, so last weekend I went to a children's first birthday party. I think it was first, or it could have been third. The children walk at one? Because this child was walking. This one was talking. It had friends from, like, daycare. When do you send your kids to daycare? Is that 3, 4? Well, whatever the age of the fucking child was, there was all these, like, young children running around. And, yeah, they were fucking menaces. It was, the best contraception I think you can fucking provide is showing people a children's party. And, you know, but people are kind of stupid as well. Like, there's something about people where you get, like, you can be the smartest, most adamant, like, oh, I'm not going to have kids. And then, you know, you meet someone that you actually like and, you know, you want to be with. And then you're like, oh, you know, maybe kids would be fun. I don't know what it is. There's something inside people. There's, like, some hormone that clicks. Like, even if you're, like, you know, not a child person, you know, there's something about it where, like, you get into, like, a decent relationship, and then you're like, oh, you know, kids would be nice. It must be, like, some hormone that happens. But, yeah, so it was very eye-opening as far as, like, what kids are actually like. And, like, little boys are fucking nightmares. Absolutely horrible, just running around, fucking hitting people, throwing balloons at people. It was just out there, like, and no one can control their fucking children. I don't know what the go is. Like, it's like children run their lives. These people are so fucking weak that they let their children run their lives. I was fucking disgusted. I was like, what the fuck are these people doing? Like, you know, grow a cock. You're fucking, you know, you're 28, 30, 32. Like, you're old men. And you have these kids, like, telling you what to do and shit. Like, don't be so fucking weak. Just go and, you know, sort your shit out. I think that, yeah, I think that I wouldn't want a boy. I feel like, one, I'd probably be too much of a cockhead. I'd be like, oh, you have to be the fucking best human you can be, rah, 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 you know, be a man, you cockhead. Yeah, I think I'd probably be a bit harsh on the old child. But also, like, they'd be running around and you'd have to fucking constantly be tiring the cunts out, and then they'd have a sleep at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They wouldn't go to fucking sleep until, like, you know, 7 in the morning. Fuck that shit. Yeah, I don't know. It'd just be, yeah, having a boy, I don't think, would be for me. But then you can't really choose, can you? You know? Once you spray it in there, it's fucking, it's up to the Dark Lord what comes out. So, yeah. I don't know. It's definitely not a Jake in anytime soon type situation, that's for sure. I still have a lot of things I want to do before all my time's taken up by a tiny little person, so...
Yeah.
Oh, well. It was an interesting party, but it was good. Like, it was all the boys were there, because all my mates have kids. Like, literally all of them have kids. I guess a couple of them don't, but, like, all the boys on that side, that group of friends have kids, so it's, yeah... That's probably the only time you really see them is when there's fucking kids' parties on and shit like that. I don't know. But, yeah, it was just good to see the boys, you know, talking to a few of them. It looks like when they get older, they're a lot easier to handle. Like, between the time that they start walking and talking until they start going to school, apparently, that's, like, the most intense time. And I guess that's when they're the most moldable as well. I think between, like, 0 and 12 is, like, when you kind of... You know, they get influenced in their personality. I don't think it's that you can make them better at that time. I think it's that you can fuck them up at that time. So, yeah, I think that's kind of how it goes. But, yeah, you know, who fucking knows? I don't know how I'd go as, like, a dad. I feel like I'd be probably, like, one of those strict parents, and the kid would go to school and be like, oh, yeah, I can't do that because my dad will fucking be, you know, a cunt about it. I'll probably be the house where, you know, the kids will want to come over because we have all the cool stuff, but also I'm that scary fucking person that no one's going to want to be around. So they'll be like, oh, we want to hang out on the motorbikes, but also your dad's scary, fuck that. So I feel like if I had to tell someone else's kid to shut the fuck up, I probably would. Like, I wouldn't fuck about it, I think. Like, I'm not going to have another person's child, like, you know, and I'd probably have to go up to the parents and be like, look, if you're going to entrust me with this, your child, you're going to have to understand that this child is not going to run my life. I'm going to be telling this child what to do. You understand that? And, yeah, I wonder how that would go over. So you don't know what people are like anymore. Like, when I was growing up and, like, my mates would come around, my mum would tell all my mates to, you know, stop fucking about and shit. Like, my mom was very strict. Like, I grew up in a very strict household. So, like, yeah, my mom would tell all my mates what to do. That's why they never fucking came around. Like, we were super poor, so we didn't have any cool shit. And my mom was, you know, a fucking Nazi, basically. So, yeah, all my mates would never come around. I'd always go to their place. And my mom kind of liked that in a sense, because she didn't like having people around. And I liked it because I got a fucking break. So, yeah, it was, yeah, I feel like, I don't know if people would be into that now, you know what I mean? Like, people care about feelings and shit, and, like, I don't know, like, it'd be hard. It's hard wading the waters of that, because, like, my mate whose daughter the party was for, like, I think his missus had invited their friends from daycare, but, like, the parents don't know you, they don't know what's going on, they only know the kids. So it was kind of always awkward because they're kind of hanging out with their kids, but also they don't really know the adults. And, like, it's like these people have forgotten how to interact with adults because they've had kids. So it's kind of weird. People become weird when they have kids. I think there's, like, a few couples that I was like, oh, you know, they haven't changed. They're pretty cool. They still, you know, rock it pretty hard. But they're, like, the most... I think their kids are probably the best as well, like... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just a personality trait. You need to get your kids to be friends with kids that have cool parents, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, fuck it. I don't know. I don't even have to worry about this shit for fucking years. So, yeah. It's, yeah. I don't think I could safely say that, yeah, I'm not going to have to worry about that for a long time. So, I don't need to fucking talk about it, do I? So, but it was just, you know, it was interesting. It was just interesting to see and, like, you know... They're little fucking bastards. They have, like, nefarious motives all the time. Like, children do not have good motives. Like, there's a little bit of the Dark Lord that comes out in every child, I think. And then how large that grows or how small that dissipates to is dependent on the child itself, I guess. But, like, it's like a kid comes out of the womb and it has, like, a little goat tattoo just, like, kind of on its hip. And then it kind of fades away if you raise it well and, like, the kid's disposed that way. and then it kind of gets bigger if the kid's a little cunt, you don't raise it right. So, yeah, I think there's definitely some dark arts in all children. Definitely. Everything's nefarious. Like, they don't do anything that you would consider to be, like, good. Like, and that kind of says something about human nature, I guess. Or maybe the way that we are bringing children up in this world. Like, no children are ever, like, doing good shit. You know what I mean? Like, there's no child that's out there being like, you know, oh, I'm going to sit down and, you know, be cool and learn things and colour in books and not fuck about. Like, all kids want to fuck about. And I don't know what that is. Is that just a now thing? Is that a before thing? Like, have kids always wanted to fuck about? Like, and why do we start off being nefarious cunts and then we grow into being, you know, members of society? Like, is that naturally how we should be? Or should we always be cunts? Is that our natural, like... I mean, it definitely doesn't get shit done. Like, if we just stayed, like, children the whole time, we wouldn't have the fucking car I'm driving in or the phone I'm recording this podcast on. But also, like, yeah, I don't think so, you know, because you wouldn't be happy. You'd just be a fucking cunt all the time. So I think maybe, like, it could be that we're, like, raising children wrong at this point and, like, we need to, you know, pick our game up or something like that. I don't know, like, some kids are just nefarious as fuck, and I don't know what it is. It could be, like, you know, they just get away with whatever they want to do. Like, they don't have any discipline or, you know, because discipline equals freedom. So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird how fucking you get kids, you get people in a group, I guess, and, you know, genocides happen. So maybe it is just human nature and we, like, overcome our own imperfections, something like that. But definitely, a child's party reminds me of, like, Australian and British Parliament. They kind of act in the same way, except it's a little bit more, you know, hoity-toity, in a sense. But, yeah, it was kind of weird. It was, yeah, I don't know, it's nothing like I've ever seen before. And, yeah, hopefully I don't have to go to too many of those. I think only that mate would invite me to his kid's party, I think. He's, yeah, I don't know. He's a good bloke, so, yeah, it's nice that he invites me to shit, so that's alright. But, yeah, so, after that I just went for a fucking surf. The surf was good. I was out for fucking 2.5 hours, nearly 3 hours, I think. So, yeah, I got a big surf. Saturday, the surf was really good, and then fucking Sunday, the surf was also good, but I was so rooted. I was absolutely fucking smashed. So I went out for about 45 minutes to an hour and I was like stuffed. I just went in. I was like, fuck this. My chest was sore and my underarms were chafing and my neck was chafing. I was like, oh God. Like, you know, the real fucking dark arts were coming out. But, yeah, I'm pretty prone to chafe. I think I'd chafe if I walked to the fucking letterbox on a hot day. So I've kind of become used to that lifestyle. It's a pretty standard practice in the old Jakey boy's life. But, yeah, so the surf was fucking good. I got some good waves. And, yeah, just, you know, living the dream. Basically, sleeping in the van. I'm in the process of buying a fucking house. And it's going averagely, I guess. Averagely is probably the best word I can use. Like, I found a house that I like. It's actually two houses. It's on what we would call in Australia, like a duplex, or it's one block, so you pay one lot of rates and one lot of water rates and land tax and all that sort of shit, but you have two houses on it, so you can rent one out and live in the other one. But this one's set up really well because they're not actually on the same block per se. Like, there's a fence in between the two, and there's a driveway on the other side of the road, and it's on a corner, so you don't actually ever interact with your neighbours at all. Though there's no driveway in their house, you don't have to walk through their yard. It's literally two houses, basically. But, yeah, so it's actually really cool, and I like it, and the front house is really old and has character about it, and the one out the back is a new kind of two-bedroom thing that they kind of lumped on the back, which is pretty cool. They both need work to make them livable. Well, no, the front one's pretty good. Well, I mean, it was when you look inside it. Like, everything's kind of sweet in there. It's got, like, rough kitchens, and the bathrooms are brand new, so that's kind of fun. The bedrooms, everything's painted well, like, really high ceilings. So it's all kind of cool. But the back one is just kind of like a picked it off a catalogue and put it out the back type situation. But, it's kind of bland at this point, and I want to put like a shed so I can do work in the shed, which I'm thinking I'll just get two garden sheds, take the front and the back out of like take the front out of one and the back out of the other, then just put them together and have like a double garden shed. And I think that'd probably be enough, like if I pick the right sheds. Like, my dad has a garden shed out the back. If I had two of those, I think I'd be pretty, you know, it's not a good setup, but I could have like a lathe and a mill. Well, I found out mills are really expensive, so I'll probably just have a drill press with like a movable fucking vise, and then just get a chuck, like a milling bit inside the chuck, and that'll probably be my mill. I can weld in there and shit like that. I'll probably just keep it on like a dirt floor. I don't know if I'd want to concrete it, because that can get a bit expensive for like a fucking garden shed. But I think it'll be all right. But I want to put a deck on the front of it, and I want to have like, I want it to be kind of enclosed in three sides and have kind of vines go up in it and make it a bit like, you know, oh shit, I picked my arm and it's fucking bleeding. Fucking cockhead. Anyway, yeah, but I want to put like a spa bath in the deck, like have it set into the deck. I think that'd be cool as fuck, and just have like a, you know, an outdoor eatery area, and because that's where I'd probably want to eat most of my, well, a lot of the meals I'd like to do outside, you know what I mean? And have like good lighting out there and, you know, shit like that. Maybe a fireplace, just one of those enclosed ones. And I guess you'd put them in like a metal or like ceramic fucking bunting. So, you know, just make like a nice fucking ornate bunting, maybe in a circle, and then just put the fire on top of it. I think that'd be pretty cool. And then I'd have maybe like a screen out the front, so when you pull it down, you get a bit of privacy about the place. I don't think I'd want to enclose it per se, because like I like light. I'd probably have a bit of clear fucking clear corrugated fucking sheeting, that PVC plastic sheeting, the clear stuff on the top of it. And then I'd probably have like, you know, I'd probably one be normal material, one be clear, you know, go like that. So you could have like shady spots and sunny spots and shit like that. I think that'd be pretty cool. And I'd love to put in like maybe like a carport or like something like that, where I can have a gym set up and maybe a sauna and shit like that. You know, I'm thinking big at this point, but I also have to remember that I don't want to spend too much on it, because I'll never fucking make the money back, and I don't think I'm gonna fucking retire in Cessnock somehow. But you know, you need your shit, the shit that makes your life better, and I figure I'll probably be there for like a couple of years at least, if not, you know, 3 years. So it'd be good to get all that shit kind of done in the first, you know, 6 months, and then enjoy it for 2.5-3 years at least, if not more, if not less, you know. But like, yeah, it'd be fun to just have that cool setup, and so that's kind of exciting. But when I got the pest of building done, the roof on the front house is fucked, apparently. I haven't actually seen it. I looked at it and I was like, oh, the gutters are pretty fucked, there'd probably be some rot behind the fucking, you know, the fascias, like the fascias are pretty rotted. I was like, oh, you know, I'll clear the gutters out, probably take them off, redo the fascias, put the gutters back on, all good. But apparently the corrugated iron roof is all fucked up. And so I went and got a quote for it, and it was $30,000. So I just put it to the guy and I said, look, here's the quote, like, take it off the house and I'll fucking still buy it. But he hasn't, I don't know what he's fucking, I think he's getting his own quote. So he's going to try and get some cheap ass fucking, you know, thing. But I still reckon it'll cost $20,000-$25,000. Like, I don't think he's going any lower than that. And I think what'll happen is I'm just going to take the guttering off, you know, redo the fascias, put the guttering back on, fix up any holes and leaks, and, you know, have the guttering dissipate away from the house. And then, yeah, that'll probably be it, because, I mean, I'm not going to spend $30,000 on a fucking rental property. But, yeah, and, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, hopefully it all goes well. I mean, if I get the house for $340,000, that's a fucking steal. That's like, yeah, it's such a good price. So I'll be very, very happy with that. And, yeah, it'll definitely be a good investment. I mean, I'll have a loan for $140,000, I think. I think it'll be around $140,000 by the end of it all. And I'll still keep a bit. I always keep a bit of money on the side that I don't have in my loan, just for easy access. But I might look at doing redraw and shit like that, just to, because you take the interest off your loan really, like you take 10 years off your loan if you pay $50,000 more off your loan in the first year. So I usually try and smash it pretty quickly. And I'll probably borrow, shit, I want to do an 80%. So what's 80% of 340? That's 60, 68, about 70,000. So I'll probably lay down 70,000 straight up just to, you know, not have to pay mortgage insurance and all that sort of shit. In Australia, if you borrow any more than 80% of the value of a house, you have to get mortgage insurance. So yeah, I'll probably do something like that to avoid paying mortgage insurance. Yeah, and then I'll put the rest on just straight up. So my repayments will be based on a 470 off that. That'll be $280,000 loan, and I'm only going to have $140,000 loan. So yeah, that's quite nice. So my repayments, like my forecast and my minimum repayments are going to be all based on like a longer, higher loan, like a substantially longer and substantially higher. So one, my bank account's going to blow smoke up my ass every time I log in. It's going to be like, oh, look at that. You know, you're 19 years ahead of your loan. And then, you know, I'm going to get a little bit hard over that. And then, you know, I'm going to be in good stead, because the way they're going to calculate all my interest and stuff will be based on a long-term loan. So with everything fucking, you know, brought right down, I'm going to be paying less interest in the end. So that's pretty nice. And yeah, like it's good to get a house for like a decent price, because you don't want to pay too much for a house, or like especially your first house, because the interest will fucking kill you. And even now, like if I went out and bought a $500,000 house, I'd be fucking getting so much interest every fucking week. It'd be absolutely terrible. Like I've borrowed $240,000 before, and it's hectic. It's a big gap. You know what I mean? Like it's a lot every week to fucking pay back. So can you imagine doubling that? Like, yeah, I don't want the pressure of having that. Because with the loan that I'll get, the repayments, like the minimum repayments are still going to be for a higher loan with a longer term. But also, I think like if I went to the bank and said, hey, I want to lower it down to the minimum for the loan at that point, it'd maybe be $100 a week, maybe 150, and I'd be paying the interest off plus a little extra for the loan. So like, you know what I mean? Like it's not too hard to do. And like, say if I get annoyed at work, or you know, something goes bad at work and I get fucking, you know, let go or sacked, or the price of coal fucking falls and they fuck everyone off, like, you know, I'm not gonna be up fucking struggle street, because my loan repayments aren't that much. I can go and get a fucking job as a mechanic in a fucking, you know, dealership or house bashing or fucking whatever. And I'd still be able to afford the loan, and, you know, I'd be living and shit. So, like, that's, you know, that's never a bad thing. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you are unable to manage your lifestyle if you lose your job. Because if you're put in that situation, the amount of pressure and stress you're going to have on yourself is going to, I don't know how people do it. Like, it'd be unbearable for me to live like that. Like, I don't want to be thinking about money and about that sort of shit. Like, if I got sacked today, I wouldn't have to go back to work for fucking, you know, 20 years. Like, realistically. But I'd have no money after the 20 years. But, like, that's the position that I like to be in. And so, if I put myself into a loan situation where I do owe a lot of money, one, I want to make sure that I can, you know, if all fucking goes pear-shaped, that, you know, worst comes to worst, I can pay the loan off basically through the minimum wage in Australia, which, that's what you kind of need. Because anyone can get a minimum wage job in Australia. It's not that hard. And I think, it's definitely not that hard at all. And I think that if your repayments would be more than, like, the shittiest job you can find, I think you're probably doing something, you know, wrong. But also, I think that you just want to be in a position where you don't have to sell your house. But if you do have to sell your house, you're going to earn the money back quickly. Like, let's say everything went to shit and I had no money. I couldn't pay the repayments. I was getting behind on my mortgage and everything was shit and I had to sell the house. I could sell it really quickly and still not lose money. Like, I mean, you're going to lose money if you sell the house really quickly. But, yeah, you don't want to lose money on your house. So you don't want to overpay for a house because of a lifestyle choice, I think. Like, a lot of people will pay $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 more for a house because, like, of the lifestyle. But then, you know, when they have to come time to sell it, other people aren't going to pay that and they don't have the time to wait it out for another person who wants to come along and pay for that lifestyle. So, yeah, you got to be smart about shit. You got to not let emotions get involved in your financial decisions. Like, yeah, like, I like the house and I'm a little bit emotionally invested in it at this point. Like, I've been negotiating for nearly a month now, or maybe 3 weeks. But, you know, if he come back to me and said he wasn't going to negotiate the price, like, it's going to be $370,000, I don't think I'd fucking take it, you know what I mean? I think I'd be like, no, like, it's not going to be a good investment for me. Even though I do like the house and I'm emotionally invested in it. And I think that's how you stay afloat. Like, the joy you're going to get out of a house that you've paid too much for is not going to be worth the money of a house that, you know, maybe you don't have, like, as good a lifestyle in. And I think that's a lot of issues in people's lives these days, is they don't understand, like, happiness and joy and the way that joy and happiness are brought into your life and the standard of happiness and joy that you can maintain. I think a lot of that is lost on people. And I think a lot of people are after that quick high. And then once the quick high goes away, your level of happiness is quite low. It's like gambling, basically. Like, you get that high and you have that huge win and you're like, oh, fuck, I've just won $7,000 on the fucking dogs. Oh, fuck, you know, look at all this money I've got. But then realistically, you've been on such lows and you've lost so much fucking money, you know, like, for the last 3 months, that you're actually behind. But you don't see that because you're just running on this high and low cycle. And it's, you know, you're predominantly low. But then you get those high highs. And I think that's how most people work as far as their emotions go. Like, they don't... Like, people that fucking drink fucking all the time, or, like, you know, take drugs every fucking day and, you know, shit like that, buy expensive shit and put themselves into debt for, like, things. And, you know, like, that's temporary highs that come back to long lows. Like, this, yeah, you need to, I think when you're looking at things, you need to be like, how long will this bring me joy? Like, especially when I was buying a car, I was like, because I could have gone out and bought a fucking brand new Skyline or a fucking, you know, something like an NSX, and that would have been cool. Like, I would have enjoyed the car and I would have brought me joy every time I drove it. But then, you know, would I have had more joy out of the skyline than I would of this cool van, and this cool van is very practical, and I can sleep in it, and like it works for me. Like it doesn't look the coolest, and I always get fucking profiled by the cops. They think they're gonna, you know, walk up to the car, and it's gonna be some fucking long-headed punk with you know, just, you know, smoking dope, drinking fucking beers. There's a longy in the fucking glove compartment, you know, that sort of shit. But it's not. Like, I'm just like a normal dude. I just like, you know, surfing and fucking being in the van and shit. So, yeah, I actually got profiled this morning. He let two normal cars go past to pull me over into a booze bus. And I was like, fucking cockheads. And then he was like, oh, I'll check your tires. I bet the cunt hasn't checked anyone else's fucking tires except my cool van. He wants to check the tires out. And he's like, oh, I'll get your windscreen fucking fixed. It's not in the line of sight, you fucking cockhead, so it's not illegal. Fuck you. Yeah, cunt was being a fucking dickhead. But yeah, I think that, yeah, people need to really reassess joy and what actually brings them happiness and when they feel happiest. Like, yeah, because I don't think, like, when I was poor, I definitely wasn't happy. Being poor is not fun. No one is like, and I don't think you need to be poor to have an attitude. Like, you know how people are like, oh, I'm happier without money and that sort of shit. That's not the money's fault. It's your attitude to the money. Like, I live a lifestyle that's very minimalist, not because I'm a minimalist or because I want to be poor, I'm lazy and I don't want to work. I do it because that's like the happiest that you can be, basically. Like, no one is happy being actually broke. And no one's happy being lavishly broke. Like, I feel a lot of the times that I'm probably, how do I say that? I think I probably have the most available cash, like, of anyone. Because people just, like, I don't know many people that could turn around tomorrow and pull fucking 10 grand out of the bank pretty, you know, without a problem. Like, obviously the bank would be like, what the fuck are you pulling 10 grand out of the bank for in cash? But like, I could do it quite easily. And most people, like, if most people with a Lamborghini couldn't pull 10 grand out of the bank, they got too many debts, too much fucking, you know, invested. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, you can be rich and have a Lamborghini. Like, I could buy a Lamborghini tomorrow cash, no problem. But like, you know, I wouldn't be rich. I'd have a depreciating asset that depreciates so fucking quickly that it wouldn't be worth anything. And I wouldn't have the fucking money, you know what I mean? So, like, this air of, like, being rich, like, most rich people I know are fucking poor. It's just they happen to earn a lot every week, but then it all gets blown on fucking stupid shit, and then they have nothing at the end of the week. Like, I know plenty of people that earn, like, $2,000, $3,000 a week that fucking have nothing at the end of the week. They blow it on fucking stupid shit. And I think that's like, that's where the money doesn't buy your happiness thing comes in, because the way that they're living isn't like the way that they live is not conducive to happiness, because they're constantly spending and buying and spending, you know, just keeping that cycle going. And like, poor people tend to be happier because they don't live in that constant cycle of anxiety of needing and wanting and paying and debt and shit like that. But they're not as happy as they could be. Like they're not happy because they're poor. They're not happy because they don't have money. It's just that they're forced into a position where they don't get into a vicious cycle of spending and buying and loans and things. And like, so then they are kind of forced to be happier than rich people. But like, if you have a good relationship with money, like, being, you're having money is fine. Like, no one's, you know what I mean? Like, and the, I think you're probably happier having the money, but you need to have a good relationship with it. And like, I think I've found a pretty good balance at this point in my life. And it's probably the best balance I've ever had, in the sense that I don't worry about buying food or spending too much on shit that I need, like things that I know are going to bring me joy. Like, I would have no problems buying tools. Like, obviously I want to look for like the most efficient and the most, how do I say that? Economically wise choice. Like, I'm not going to go out and buy a brand new mill for $2,000. But, like, you know, I wouldn't, you know, if I go and buy a bandsaw, I'm going to buy a bandsaw that I, instead of paying $50 for a shit bandsaw that I'm not going to like, I'll spend $200, $400 on a bandsaw, a 17-inch bandsaw that'll actually cut well and, you know, it's going to be what I actually want and I'm going to use it for something that, yeah. So I think that's kind of the difference where before I'd just buy a whole bunch of like cheap shit and try and get away with the cheapest thing and it'd waste my time and cause me fucking anxiety because I just wanted it to be fixed. And then I'd spend more money on like constantly buying cheap shit that would break or like new machines that, you know, to replace the old ones because I fucking surpassed them too quickly and shit like that. So yeah, I think I'm in a good position now where I know what I need. Like, I'm much more cognizant of my needs and my wants and what makes me happy, and then I'm just spending money on that stuff, and then everything else kind of, like, when I'm at work, I kind of eat the same thing every day at work, because the happiness of eating good food at, well, let's define good food, like tasty food at work, is not going to be as good as the, like, anxiety or the fucking detriment it's going to be to have to make it every day. So, like, I find I like fatty food. I must have been fucking Scandinavian or fucking Northern European in my ancestry because I feel really good eating fatty meat and vegetables all the time. That's where, like, my body peaks. So I literally just go to the shop and buy, like, say, 2 kilos of pork, the fattiest fucking pork I can get, and, you know, a kilo of chicken, fucking, you know, just breasts or, like, the fatty bits, the best bits. And then I just cook them up with a whole bunch of vegetables, kale, fucking bok choy, choy sum, pak choy, beans, carrots, fucking all sorts of shit. I just throw them in fucking containers, and I just take the containers to work, you know what I mean? Like, and I think the joy that I get out of eating, like, tasty food wouldn't be as much as that, you know, having to cook every day. So I feel like, because I like pork and I like chicken and I like vegetables, and like obviously eating the same thing every day gets somewhat monotonous, but I feel like the choices that I've made don't get monotonous enough to me for me to warrant making something different. So yeah. And when I come home, like sometimes I'll just eat the food that I have, my meals. And sometimes I'll eat fucking pasta, and like it just depends on how I'm feeling. But I think, yeah, I've kind of come to a point where I know what's gonna make me happy, and feeling good and eating good food, like good for you food, and not wasting time cooking tastier food, I think is kind of gonna bring me more joy than eating, say, I don't know, fucking some shit, spaghetti or udon noodles or Japanese or some shit like that. Like, the time that I would have wasted doing it would be detrimental, and also I don't think I would feel as well. Like, I don't think those heavy carb foods sit very well in my stomach, so I don't think I digest carbs that well. Like, not at all, really. Like, I don't like brown rice is thick in my stomach and it fucking just stays in there for ages, and I just feel fucking bloated and fat, and I don't like it. Like, for the amount of pasta I eat, I definitely feel bloated and heavy afterwards. Like, it doesn't digest all that well. Like, I think my mum has like the same type of stuff. Like, I think she eats gluten-free pasta not because she's gluten intolerant, but because she digests it better. And I think, you know, I may be in the same boat. White rice goes okay. Pretty good with white rice. It's not the best. Like, I still feel pretty heavy afterwards, but like it digests fairly quickly, like quick enough anyway. What else do I use? Bread makes me feel heavy, like brown bread especially, even like that is, yeah, is that Ezekiel brown bread, fuck that shit, that makes me feel like I'm got a fucking brick inside me. White bread's okay. I still don't feel the best. Like, white rolls are all right, I think, because they're so aerated. They do some... Yeah. And I like sourdough. Sourdough is really good. But I think because sourdough is a fermented fucking bread, I think, you know, it's already done some of the digestion for me. So I think that's probably why I feel pretty good on that one. Yeah, but I think, like, I'm pretty good with white potatoes and sweet potatoes. I digest them really well. So if I was going to, like, get back into, like, bodybuilding and shit, which I don't think I will because I don't want to put the time into it. Like, I like working out and eating as I do at the moment. Like, it kind of suits me, and I'm not putting, like, too much time in it. Like, maybe, you know, an hour a day. If we added it up over, say, 7 days, I would put into, like, working out. And I'm not looking too bad. So I'm like, you know, I would like to have a more structured thing so I don't have to think about it as much. Because, like, I'll get there and be like, oh, what do I work out today, you know? And then I also think it'd be good to just mix it up and get different body parts kind of working. And, you know, because I get a really good fucking pain for, like, maybe the first 3 weeks of working out, and then after that it goes away, and I think I'm probably not pushing myself as hard as I should be. So I'm like, oh, you know, maybe I should you know, fucking have just a plan, and then, you know, maybe just put, like, in the spreadsheet or something what I did, and then how many reps of whatever I did happened. And I feel like maybe that'd be a good way to do it, because then I'd always constantly be pushing myself and be like, oh, okay, this is how much I did and this is what I did and all that sort of shit. So, yeah, I mean, also I don't do a lot of back work because back work involves a barbell and my barbells are at grandma's and I don't really have a spot for them. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it, you know what I mean? So, yeah, like, once I get a place, I should be able to get everything set up and then create, like, a routine, because I'd like to do, like, say, a traditional isolation week. But see, then I'm even thinking about it in weeks, where maybe I should do it in, like, splits. So one day it'll be, like, say, chest in a standard, you know, 5 sets of 12, or, you know, 12 8 12 10 8 6, you know, type situation, like a more traditional, like, what your personal trainer would tell you to do at the fucking gym, you know, just that bare bones basic fucking thing. But then, like, do, say, like, one, that's the first day, and then the second day will be, like, superset legs, where you do, like, squat for, say, 100 reps just straight up at once with, like, varying weights. I don't know what they call it. They call it reduction sets or something like that. I can't remember what they call it, but it's, like, you know, you start, let's say you're doing squats, so you start with, say, 1,000. No, let's not say 1,000. I'm not that fucking big. Let's say 100 kilos. And then you squat 100 kilos for 10 or 20 or whatever you can fucking get out. Then you take 10 kilos off and now you're at 90. And then you do another 10. You take 10 kilos off, you're at 80. And you get all the way down to fucking nothing. Basically just the bar. And then you put it all back on. And you try and get 200, 300 sets out just all at once. And that's, you know, that's fucking intense. It's a heavy one. But you can't be doing that every week because you get used to that as well. So, like, yeah, maybe put that in the next day. So it'll be, like, traditional chest and then a reduction set squats. And then maybe some superset something else, like chest and back and biceps. Then you'd maybe have, like, a whole body workout week where you do a whole body one day, day off, whole body one day, day off. Like, that sort of shit. Like, just trying to fuck your body up and... So I don't really do any cardio, and I think when I have, like, looked at my peak, I was doing, like, a lot of walking. Like, I was in Europe just eating, like, fatty fucking food and walking around all the time. And I think probably that's, like, my best, you know, when I do look my best is when I'm getting after the cardio, because I don't necessarily feel like I need to do a lot of weight work to maintain my physique. Because I don't lose a lot of muscle. Because I'm an intermittent faster, I guess that's what you call it. I don't know if I ever fucking have said that before in my life, but I only eat like I haven't eaten yet. It's 10:30 in the morning. So I don't think I'll probably eat until about 12, 1 o'clock usually. But, like, I've been more extreme. Like, sometimes it'd be 3 o'clock, but I found 12, 1 o'clock's a pretty good start point. And then dinner will be 5 or 6 o'clock. And then I'm